This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. Al-yawm al-tasi'ashar من شهر ربيع الأول 1446 الموافق ل كم من الشهر اليوم 23 من شهر سبتمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرحمه ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last درس, I guess we talk about استفاضة المال, right? So today we will be dealing with ظهور الفتن, right? Now, so the next sign mentioned by the مؤلف is ظهور الفتن, the appearance of the فتن. والفتن جمع فتنة. The word fitan is the plural of fitna. وهي الابتلاء والامتحان. وهي الابتلاء والامتحان. والاختبار. So this is a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting on a person. That's ابتلاء, a test. والامتحان. Also, ليس مترادفات, going back to the same meaning. To test your ability to resist and to submit and to keep your good behavior regardless of the test. ثم كثر استعمالها فيما أخرجه الاختبار للمكروه. And then they use it a lot to address, when they say fitna, they're talking about whatever is brought out by الاختبار or something which is not wanted, disliked things. ثم أطلقت على كل مكروه, and the نتيجة الاختبار, the people use اختبار or ابتلاء or فتنة to address نتائج المكروهة بعد الامتحان, consequences that happens after the test take place. But then later on, it is used to address any مكروه. Any dislike thing that happens, which is unwanted, they use fitna to address it. أو آيلٌ إليه, or something that is ending in something that is makruh. كالإثم والكفر والقتل والتحريك. Yeah, they call it fitna. Yeah, this fitna. كفر fitna, إثم fitna, والقتل fitna, والتحريك. Also fitna, burning, something. وغير ذلك من الأمور المكروهة. And also other than these that are mentioned of things that are disliked. قال وقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من أشراط الساعة ظهور الفتن العظيمة التي يلتبس فيها الحق بالباطل. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is one of the signs of the day of judgment that fitan will be a lot. And these fitan, they will be so big. بحيث يلتبس فيها الحق والباطل. You will not be able to recognize the truth from the falsehood. They will be mixed with each other in the way a person will not be able to recognize which one is the truth. Yeah. Our time reasons something like this a lot, actually. فَتِزَلْزِلُ الْإِيمَانَ, which will shake the iman of a believer. حَتَّى يُصْبِحَ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيَمْسِي كَافِرًا. In a way, a person might be reaching the morning as a mu'min, but unfortunately, by the evening time, he will be kafir. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحَ كَافِرًا. And sometimes a person might be a believer until night, but unfortunately in the morning time, Because of the fitan that he put himself in, he becomes kafir. Wallahi, these days, it's highly possible, you know, with these media. Yeah, a person might watch something which might take his iman within the blink of an eye. كلما ظهرت فتنة قال المؤمن فيها هذه مهلكتي. And there will be a lot, and they will be so big, you know, so tough. In the way, whenever a fitna happens, a mu'min will say, most likely this will destroy me. My destruction will be in this fitna. ثم تنكشف, and then the fitna will be gone. ويظهر غيرها, another one will happen, which is tougher than the first one. يقول المؤمن هذه مهلكتي. A believer will say, definitely this one I cannot escape, cannot pass this one. هذه وهذه ثم تنكشف, and then it will be gone. ولا يزال أو ولا تزال الفتن تظهر في الناس إلى أن تقوم الساعة. And fitan, they will keep appearing until the day of judgment. Never stop. They will never stop. You get it? Was there any time when the fitan stopped? In our lifetime? No, never. If this fitna finished, another one will come. Yeah, one of them will appear and then it finishes, another one will come. Or the other ones that are already there, they will continue to exist. في الحديث عن أبي موسى العشاري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن بين يدي الساعة فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, before the day of judgment, there are fitan going to exist before the day of judgment. كقطع الليل المظلم, just like the part and the portions of the night. You know, night when it comes after Maghrib, is it dark? No. Which planet are you living? Right after Maghrib, it goes gradually, right? It goes gradually. So you see, the deeper you go, the darker is that. So these are the fitan. Meaning the first one happens, it will be a bit light, but the next one will be tough. The next one will be tougher, like that. كَقِطَعَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمْ, the Prophet ﷺ said. قَالَ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيَمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person will reach the morning as a believer, but by night, or by masa, he becomes kafir. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And also, he will reach the night as a mu'min, but by tomorrow, he will become kafir. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القائد فيها خير من القائد. The one who sits down, doesn't go and get involved in things, and doesn't even move, sit in one place, and التزم بيته, doesn't go out, is better than the one who stand out to see the fitna. The seated person is better than the standing one. والقائم خير من الماشي. And the one who stands is better than the one who is walking, going from place to another place. والماشي خير من الساعي. And the one who walks slowly is better than the one who runs. So what to do if these fitan happens? The Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ كَسِّرُوا قِسِيَكُمْ فَكَسِّرُوا قِسِيَكُمْ. You know, because some of these fitan, they are based on what? Civil war between the Muslims themselves. Muslim is fighting Muslim, you know, al-harj, kama qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, murder, and all of these things that, subhanAllah, some of our communities are tested with. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what to do is to do this. Qala kassiru qisiyakum. Break the qisi. What is the qisi? Al-qaws. The bow. And you know the when you're doing the archery, there are so many things, right? The board, the one that is like look like the crescent, you know. So the Prophet ﷺ said, break it, meaning you cannot use it to shoot somebody. He wants you to live a very peaceful life. قَالَ وَقَطْعُوا أَوْتَارَكُمْ. And also break the awtar. What is that? The rope, you know, then the qaws. There is one rope which you put the arrow and then shoot the string, the bow string. That one. He says, وَقَطِّوا أَوْتَارَكُمْ, and break those ones also. وَضْرِبُوا بِسْيُوفِكُمُ الْحِجَارَةِ, and take your sword and hit the rock with it. What is he trying to tell us? Destroy the sword. So that when you happen to hit somebody with it, you will not cut him. You will just slap him and teach him a lesson, but he will not kill. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he said in some other places, he says, فَإِنْ دُخِلَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ, and the same hadith also, قَالَ فَإِنْ دُخِلَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ, if let's say you stay home, because he says it's better to stay home, right? You're staying home, but then unfortunately somebody comes into the house and meets you there. He says, فَإِنْ دُخِلَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَيَكُنْ كَخَيْرِ Ibn Adam. It should be like the best among the two children of Adam alayhi salam. You know, when the other one wanted to kill him, what did he say? لَإِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it should be like this person. Say, لَإِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِن دُخِلَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَكُنْ كَخَيْرِ إِبْنَي آدَمْ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want you to get involved whatsoever. And because it's too much for a Muslim to pull out his sword against another Muslim. You know, unless if you have permission from the Sharia, and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear on that matter. You get it? So he wants you to maintain the peace and the salama, and then reply with the same. Run away, leave the place, break your bows, break your arrows, destroy your sword. Anything that can hit and kill somebody, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep it aside. That's why the scholar said, in those days, even if you are a weapon seller, licensed weapon seller, in the days where the Muslims are fighting Muslims, you're not supposed to sell those ones, because there is a big ihtimal that the one who buys it from you is going to use it for fighting to fight his brother from amongst the Muslims. قال رواه الإمام أحمد وأبو داود وابن ماجه والحاكم في المستدرك وروى الإمام مسلم عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I urge you, I recommend that you should rush and hasten, you know, and increase your righteous deed before you reach the time of the fitan. Now there is no fitna, you know, invest in righteousness. Do a lot, as much as you can. Because if those days arrive, you don't know whether you'll be able to benefit from your time or not. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do it now. He says, fitanan kaqita' al-layl al-mudhlim yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'minan wa yumsi kafira wa yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafira yabi'u dinahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya qalil. Subhanallah. He says, you find a person in those days selling his religion with what? Shallow, useless things of this dunya. You Allah. And we're living in a time like this, huh? A lot of compromises. You know, a simple thing of the dunya, a person will be willing to compromise. We're very impatient. Yeah? Very impatient to look for the halal through the halal channel, right? To look for the risk through the halal channel. We are very impatient. Many are willing to compromise their religion to keep their dunya life. You know? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in those days, you will see a person who is selling his religion, you know, to get this useless and shallow things of the dunya. قَالَ وَأَنْ أُمِّ سَلَمَةَ زَوْجِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قالت استيقظ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلا فزعا. أم سلمة said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم woke up at night. One night he woke up disoriented. You know, it's like he's really scared of something. So he was disoriented. يقول سبحان الله. So she heard him saying سبحان الله, سبحان الله. Yeah, because he sees what we don't see. He says, ماذا أنزل الله هذه الليلة من الفتن؟ ما أنزل الله من الخزائن؟ وماذا أنزل الله من الفتن؟ He was talking about, at that night, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down of is mercy, a treasure, and the blessings, but at the same time also the fitan that came down to our place on that night. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it. So he said, he was saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And then he said, Man yuqidhu sawahib al-hujurat. Who can go and quickly wake up the wives, the sahib al-hujurat? He's referring to his wife. Yeah? The owners of those hujurat, zawjatuhu, and he's referring to azwajuhu. Likay yusallin. He says, who can just go and wake them up so that they can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because al-isma min al-fitan bish bil ibadah bi rujoo ila Allah azza wa jalla. You want to be protected from the fitna, the only way out we have is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to go back to Allah is through tawheed and salah. Tawheed and salah. That's the quickest way to get a solution, you know, for any calamity or test that you get yourself in it. Yeah, if you go back to the history of the Salaf al-Saleh, you will see a lot of evidence to support this. قَالَ رُبَّكْ حَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَارِيَةٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Subhanallah. A person's affairs might be concealed in this dunya. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in a better way, but because of the too much test on the Day of Judgment, he lost the ground. So many interpretations given by the shurrah concerning this word, رُبَّكْ حَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَارِيَةٌ يوم القيامة. لعل من أقربها the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking about you thinking that everything is fine in this dunya, but on the Day of Judgment things will be different. Allah says يوم تبلى السرائر, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وبدى لهم من الله ما لم يكونوا يحتسبون. رواه البخاري. قال وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال نادى منادي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة جامعة اجتمعنا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إنه لم يكن نبي قبلي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على خير ما يعلمه له. عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص said, I remember a time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent somebody to invite people, to call upon people. And the method used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually when he wants to gather people to him so that he can give them the speech is to ask somebody to tell them as-salatu or salatu jamiah. You get it? So they will say this. Rather than making adhan, they will say as-salatu jamiah. They will come to the masjid, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will address everyone. You get it? قَالَ فَاجْتَمَعْنَا إِلَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So everyone came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِيٌّ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِلَّا كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَدُلَّ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَى خَيْرِ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُ. He said, there was no prophet before me, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon him to guide his ummah, to lead them to anything that he knows is better for them. عَلَى خَيْرِ مَا يَعْلَمُهُنَا. He said there was no prophet except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it mandatory upon him to explain to the ummah anything that can lead them to the success. قَالَ وَيُنذِرَهُمْ شَرَّ مَا يَعْلَمُهُنَا. And also to warn them against anything that can lead them to evil consequence in this dunya and the akhirah. قَالَ وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا. سبحان الله. وَسَيْسِيبُ آخِرُهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the peace of this ummah and health and good time in the past, the first part of this ummah. Look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khulafa al-Rashidin in general, before the time of Uthman came, you know, across the end of the time of the Uthman and also the time of Ali. But look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. Subhanallah, very healthy, you know, environment. No clash amongst the Muslims themselves. Fitan did not exist. Umar radiallahu anhu kan huwa al-bab. When he was killed, then the two wars destroyed. Yeah, then from that moment, fitan kept on creeping to the Muslim communities. up to date. Up to date.
SubhanAllah.
So he says, وَسَيْسِيبُ آخِرُهَا وَسَيْسِيبُ آخِرَهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا. And the last part of this ummah, you know, the later generation, they are going to be afflicted by calamities and tests and many things which are strange to the people. Unwanted things will take place. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تجيء الفتنة. A fitna will come, will arrive. فيرقق بعضها بعضا.
SubhanAllah.
He said this fitna, they are so tough and they are not equal in terms of nature. Some are tougher than the others. So when a fitna comes, يرقق بعضها بعضا, meaning the next one that will come will make you think that actually the previous one is nothing in comparison to this one. يرقق بعضها بعضا. Because of this one, the nature of it and the size of the fitna, it will make you think that, oh, actually we are in ni'mah when we were in the previous one. SubhanAllah. قال وتجيء الفتنة فيقول المؤمن هذه مهلكتي. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a fitna will come, a believer will say, this is مهلكتي. وتجيء الفتنة يقول المؤمن هذه مهلكتي ثم تنكشف, and then it will be gone. And then another one will come, the Muslim will say, most likely I will never pass this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it away. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the solution. Allahu Akbar. He says, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ وَجْهُهُ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He says, if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your face away from hell, I mean, to protect you from this fitna, which will lead you to stay away from hell. He says, فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Allahu Akbar. He said, you should maintain your istiqamah. Make sure that you reach death as a believer, somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. He should also behave and treat people in the way he wants them to treat him. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ, right? لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَادُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Yeah, it's a principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to live in. You want good, right? Yeah, you should also love good to others. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَادُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. And of good things, not anything. Yeah, that is one a narration that added this min khayrin. Yeah, so it has to be restricted to the good things, because you have some people who don't mind, you know, to receive evil in their life. So he shouldn't want also evil to go to others, right? That's one of our scholars said, inna minan nas man yuhibbu an yudhkara walau bil la'anat. There are some people who wants to be mentioned, even with curses, they don't mind. Yeah, we're living in the time of social media, everyone wants to be exposed. Right, wrong, halal, haram, as long as it brings people, it's okay. So the Prophet ﷺ said, min khayrin. So that what you will wish to see your brothers and sisters getting, it should be good. Should be good. Whether you like it or don't like it, but you should love good to reach them. Very excellent way out. He says, فَلْتَأْتِي مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ مَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. قَالَ وَأَمَّا قَالَ وَأَحَادِيثُ الْفِتَنِ كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا فَقَدْ حَذَّرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُمَّتَهُ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ وَأَمَرَ بِالتَّعَوُّذِ مِنْهَا وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ آخِرَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ سَيُصِيبُهَا بَلَاءٌ وَفِتَنٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. He said, there are so many hadiths, hadith al-fitan kathira, jiddan, jiddan. Jiddan. Abu Hurairah said, hafithu min Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are aini, right? He says, amma ahaduhuma faqad bathathtuhu fikum. The first one, I've already given you that one. But the second one, he says, if I am to share, most likely my neck will be cut off. So, scholars said, most likely this hadith al-fitan, also related to politics. Yeah, he did not hide those ones. Yeah, we got them all, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, because he knows that hiding knowledge is impermissible. But at that time, he said, I did not start sharing yet. So there are a lot of hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the last part of this ummah is going to be afflicted by a lot of fitan that are very tough in comparison to the first generation. وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ عَاصِمٌ مِّنْهَا إِلَّا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That is nothing to protect you from fitan. Wallah, nothing that can protect you from fitna except iman billah. Iwallah, your hikmah, your smartness will never work. What works is iman billah. That's the only protection you have from the fitan. إِلَّا الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلُزُومِ جَمَعَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. If you go to the more detail of that hadith, you see all of these are mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. And also, sticking to the believers. Don't separate yourself. Be with the Muslims. Be with the Muslims. In all senses. That's why living in the midst of the non-Muslim is wrong, unless if a person has no any other choice. Or has a bigger purpose there. Staying there for the da'wah, you know, and he is capable of preserving his religion and his aqidah. And many people went to those places and khalas, we lost them completely. Waliyadhu billah. The least is a person who comes back to us with no tarbiyah. At all. No tarbiyah at all. Allahumma stan. Qala illa al-imanu billahi wal-yawm al-akhir. Waluzum jama'at al-muslimin. Wahum ahlus sunnah. Wa in qallu. And these are ahlus sunnah. Wa in qallu. Walibta'adu an al-fitan. And staying away from the fitna. Because sticking to the Muslim, even if they are the minority, the good ones, this is wajib upon every believer to be with the Muslimin. Yeah? Being on the right side doesn't mean you have to be a lot. Right? Might be the minority of the minority, but they are the ones who are upon the truth, right? There was a time Ibrahim was in a city, only him and his wife were Muslims. Yeah, Lut alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, many of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were like that. They were the minority. أَشْرَفُ النَّاسِ اتَّبَعُهُ يَقُولُ هِرَقْلُ أَمْ ضَعْفَاهُمْ قَالَ بَلْ ضَعْفَاهُمْ. هذا كلام أبي سفيان. وهو الصحيح. And حتى هرقل, even هرقل, when he asked, is he followed by the noble and the important people in the community or the weak? In the community, he said, no, the weak amongst the members of the community. Mada bimada ajaba Hiraql, qala wahum atba'u ar-rusul. So those were the followers of the messengers. Qala walibta'adu an al-fitn, and to stay away from the fitna. No matter how much you think you have iman, don't approach fitna. If you know that this place has fitna, don't go. Wata'awudhu minha, and asking Allah to protect you from the fitna. فَقَدْ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنَا وَمَا بَطَنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fitan, those that are exposed and the ones that are hidden. Get it? Rahu Muslim and Zayd ibn Thabit. It's a narration of Zayd ibn Thabit collected by Imam Muslim. So these fitan, there are many, many, many types. The Mu'allif will do an excellent job in summarizing the most important, you know, ones for us to know. You get it? So he started this topic by the Dhuhur al-Fitan min al-Mashriq. The vast majority of these fitan, they will happen from the Mashriq. The Mashriq? The East. Not only Iraq. That area. Iraq, Iran. Yeah. Khurasan, any. Inshallah, he will talk about the area that he is intending.
Hatta Khurasan.
No. Mashriq kulluhu. No. Inshallah, he will mention the places where he is referring to. And also, one of the beautiful things about this book, he picked up those early fitan that happens in the Muslim community and wherever they are rooted and who brought them. So he says, أكثر فتن الذي ظهرت للمسلمين كان من بؤها من المشرق حيث يطلع قرن الشيطان وَهَذَا مُطَابِقٌ لِمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ نَبِيُّ الرَّحْمَةِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So most of the fitan that happens, they come from the mashriq, the place where the qarn al-shaytan, the horns of the shaytan appears. So what are the horns of the shaytan? Either he's talking about those horns that the Prophet ﷺ talk about when he says, don't pray when the sun is about to set or about to rise, right? He said, don't pray at that time, because at the time the sun tatlu'u bayna qarnay ash-shaytan. You get it? So either the Prophet ﷺ is referring to those qarn that shaytan is putting himself, his head between, I mean the sun between his two qarn. So the sun worshippers, when they come and worship the sun, they're worshipping the sun, but realistically they're worshipping shaitan. You know, the Prophet ﷺ called that area matla'u qarn al-shaytan, the place where the qarn al-shaytan is rising. فَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو مستقبل المشرق. Abdullah ibn Umar heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam facing the mashriq, the east. يقول على إن الفتنة منها هنا. He is pointing. He said, "Fitna is coming from this side." على إن الفتنة منها هنا حيث يطلع قرن الشيطان. He said, "على إن الفتنة منها هنا." The place where the قرن الشيطان will rise. رواه البخاري. وفي رواية لمسلم أنه قال رأس الكفر منها هنا. The root of the kufr is coming from this place. من حيث يطلع قرن الشيطان. يعني المشرق. He's referring to the mashriq. SubhanAllah, if you go to the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, Abdullah ibn Umar, actually he received some people during Hajj, you know, they were informing him about the new fitna that happens in Iraq. You get it? And these are the qadariya alladhina yaqulun la. لا قدر, right? وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال دعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم بارك لنا في سعنا ومدنا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a dua for the si'an, the sa'u al-Madina. Sa' is a measurement, they measure seed with it. I think it's known, right? Sa'u al-Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومدنا is smaller than the sa', also a measurement. وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي شَامِنَا وَمَدِينَتِنَا. And then he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in the Sham وَيَمَنِنَا, and the Yemen. So he says, Ya Allah, مَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي شَامِنَا وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي يَمَنِنَا. So he make dua for Sham and Yemen. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ وَفِي إِرَاقِنَا. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for Iraq also. قَالَ إِنَّ بِهَا قرن الشيطان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that place has قرن الشيطان in it. وتهيج الفتن, and fitan also will emerge from that place. وإن الجفاء, that kind of rough life, an easy life exists in المشرق, that place, because Iraq is in the مشرق of المدينة. قال ابن حجر وأول الفتن كان منبعها من قبل المشرق. Ibn Hajar said the first fitna that happens to the Muslims, it came from the Mashriq, which is the first fitna that happened to us. مقتل عثمان, right? مقتل عثمان على يد الخوارج طبعا. من فين جاءوا؟ من العراق. قتل عمر كذلك من أي وقتل عمر كذلك أول الفتن قتل عمر. جزاك الله. قتل عمر كذلك من الفرس, مشرق كذلك, أبو لولاة المجوسي, and also قتلت عثمان من كوفة بصرة and Egypt, but most of them are coming from Iraq. قال كان منبعها من, فكان ذلك سببا للتفرقة بين المسلمين. Yeah, from the time of Uthman رضي الله عنه, this is what marks the separation between the Muslim communities. Started to have groups after that. Subhanallah. وَذَلِكَ مِمَا يحبه الشَّيْطَانُ وَيَفْرَحُ بِهِ وَكَذَلِكَ الْبِدْعَةُ نشأت من تلك الجهة. What separates Muslimin started from that place. Innovations also started from that place. قال فمن العراق ظهر الخوارج. We know الخوارج, right? Very famous people. يعني أفضل ما يتميزون به أن مرتكب الكبيرة مخلد في النار. The one who committed a major sin will be in hell forever. Yeah. He said الخوارج. They call him كافر. مرتكب الكبيرة كافر. إذا مات ولم يتوب هو كافر وسيخلد في النار أبد الأبدين. كلاب أهل النار. One of the worst and the most dangerous firq in the Muslimin. In time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a person, if he was killed, maybe those qawm will not exist. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يخرج من ضيئة هذا الرجل. He says, قوم تحقرون صلاتكم مع صلاتي. Subhanallah. If you see them praying, for Allah, not for somebody else, you know, you belittle your prayer, you know, in comparison to theirs. When you see them reading, you belittle your reading in comparison to their reading. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يجاوز إيمانهم حناجره. The iman doesn't cross this part of, I mean, doesn't reach heart. يمرقون من الدين كما يمرق السهم من الربيع. Subhanallah. So many people lost it. Ali ibn Abi Talib lost his life. Ma'awi ibn Abi Sufyan kada an yuqtal ala yadihim. Amr ibn al-As also, they almost killed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala najjah. Many lost. Imagine the person who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib amongst them, he believes he is doing jihad for the sake of Allah. You Allah. That's why it's very dangerous to do things alone without referring to the scholars. Because the problem of the Khawarij is that they interpret the deen based on their own desire and wishes. They don't go back to the scholars. If they go back to the true scholars, they will get the correct interpretation.
Okay. Don't the Khawarij have their own scholars?
Eh, no. Later on, when the Aqidah grows, it becomes Aqidah. Because at first, it's a political movement. You get it? It's a political movement. And you have the ayadi al-khafiyya, those hidden hands in it. Do you get it? Yeah, because Abdullah ibn Saba is really having a lot of influences in this to break the Muslim community internally. So that's why the assassins of Uthman radiallahu anhu, you find them among the army of Muawiyah and among the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. They coordinate. Yeah, that's the reason why they don't let the peace treaty took place between the two armies. Because if that happened, as we are going to see inshallah, if that happens, then they know that their days are numbered. When Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah cooperate, they know that khalas, they will be in trouble. They can't do anything. So they did everything possible to make sure that that treaty did not happen. So later on, from being a political movement, it becomes aqidah with principles and talking about sifat and all of these things. You know, yeah. The person who is ha'id can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all. You cannot tell her not to pray, she can pray. They have some other things which you go to the aqidah, you see all the details there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdina wa iyyahu. Yeah. That's why it's good to have our kids next to us, be gentle, soft, and teach them, you know, and also do everything possible to make sure that you control their visit to the social media. Because you don't know who is going to pump them with fatwa, because everyone is sheikh these days. You know. And children are very vulnerable, you know, defenseless. Al Khawarij was Shia. Shia Marufu, right? Mm. Who brought them? Ibn Saba, Yahudi. Go back to him. He's the one who brought them. Yeah, Ibn Saba al-Yahudi, you know, through what? Hubb Ahl al-Bayt. And they reach in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they even call him Allah. That's why they have that poetry. لَمَّا رَأَيْتُ الْأَمْرَ أَمْرًا مُنْكَرًا
Ajastunani wada'autu qumbura. So he burned them.
Yeah, you will understand why is he burning them. Imagine somebody, you have authority, you are the king, you are the leader, and somebody comes and tell you, Adam, you are Rabbul Alameen. I'm pretty sure you will lose your your akal. You know, if there is something beyond fire, maybe you put him inside. That's why Ali ibn Abi Talib just burned them completely. Some of them ran away. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, he says, Rahimallahu, Akhi, Allah show mercy upon my brother, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, if I were to be in his position, he says, Lama harraktu, I will never burn them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yambaghi an yu'adhiba bin nari illa rabbun nar. Nobody has a right to punish somebody with fire except the owner of the fire. And subhanAllah, whenever you make a mistake, sometimes negative consequences take place. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib did not manage to burn all of them. Some of them ran away. Those who ran away, they said, he burned them with fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody has right to burn with fire except Rabbul Alameen. Meaning now they understand that, yes, he is. If he is not Rabbul Alameen, why did he burn them with fire then? You can see the aqli and the mentality, right? Somebody is there in control, feeding them with all of these things, you know, subhanAllah. And trust me, if you go back to the history carefully, you see almost every fitna that happened to the Muslim community up to date, these people, they're involved. They have some connection from a way or the other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. Allah guide them and bring them back to the Muslim Ummah. Let them understand that there is somebody who is struggling to bring back the old empire of the fire worshippers. That's why you see some of those who claim to be Muslimin, they still have the necklace which carries the shiar of those fire worshippers. But call himself Muslim. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that empire will never come back again. It's gone. The Roman Empire, it's all remained with us until the final battle. But the Persian Empire, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that one, khalas, gone. Qala wa rawafid. Rawafid is the worst type of these people. Wal batiniya. Batiniya, they involve in so many aqaid actually. You get it? Rawafid, also Batiniya. You have Qaramita, one of the worst type of the Shia and the Batiniya people. Al-Qaramita, you know. One of the harshest, you know, people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Muslim communities with them. They mentioned that they hit the Kaaba with manjaniq. Yeah? They hit the Kaaba with manjaniq. The Qaiduhum al-Qawmati, he was standing, they killed so many people next to the Kaaba. And he was saying, An Allah, Wallahu Ana, Yakhluquhum Huwa, Ana, Waqtiluhum Ana, Subhanallah. And he was saying, Aina Tayrul Ababil, you know. Imtihan. They took the Hajar al-Aswad, you know, for ages it has been staying with them, waliyadhu billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salamat al-afiyah. Wal Qadariya, also Qadariya from Iraq, if you look at the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, yeah, Qadariya from Iraq. Jama'at ma'abad al-Juhani, ومن شايعه القدرية هو ذا القدرية الذين يقولون لا قدر والأمر أنف. What do they mean?
People create their own actions.
I know, but that's the natija. What they are saying is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any decree for anything that is taking place. When you see something happen, it is just initiated now by the initiator. Allah knows about it now. Well, like kids, I remember some of the children when they hear this, they say, what? They are not paying attention to the class, but when we reach this part, the very little child, they say, what? They couldn't believe it. Allah doesn't know something until it happened. Because these guys are telling us, in this class of ours, you know, according to them, Allah never knew that we're going to have a class. When we come to the class, we start, then he knows, yeah, these people are going to have a class. Subhanallah, it's prostrating. You know? Beyond the realm of the ridiculous. Yeah. So they said people are the ones who are initiating their own actions. They're part of the Mu'tazila. You get it? Mu'tazila al-Qadriya. They believe that we created our actions. Because one of the principles of the Mu'tazila is al-Adil, justice, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Adil. We also believe in that. Right? But the understanding is different. To them they said, if we don't say human beings are the creators of their deed, then you are attributing oppression wal-iyadhu billah to Allah. Because how is it possible that He punished them on the day of judgment for something which He created it for them? There is ayah in Surah 2, Safat. وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ أَيُّ عَمَلُكُمْ You and whatever you are doing is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you get it? So we believe that Allah created human beings and give them free will to choose what they want to do, and He never forced anyone. We don't go like the Jabriya. Those who said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces, you know, whatever you do in this dunya, you don't even know you're doing. Right? Hamad, why are you in the class? Because you want to come, right? According to the Jabri, he would tell, if you ask him why Hamad is here, he said, no, Hamad also doesn't know. He just found himself in the class. So if somebody comes to Adam and hit him, Adam said, why you hit me? He said, I don't know, just my hand went, you know. So Adam should be more smarter than him, also hit him back and tell him, also my hand went back at you, you know. Hit him twice, you know. And tell him, I couldn't stop my hand, it keep going, you know. Allahumma stand. Wallahi, nothing fit human beings except Aqidatu Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ya Allah. That's the only solution for human beings. And subhanAllah, it's the most hated Aqeedah nowadays, because the evil doesn't want it to exist. Because when it exists, good is going to take place in the community. Everyone will be responsible. Everyone would recognize the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him his right. Everyone would know his position and maintain his stance and live a very good and healthy life. You know, cooperating with people to bring good to the community. Only the Aqeedah Ahl Sunnah, Aqeedah Salaf Salih can bring this for you. Ya Allah. Any other thing cannot do this. You find some aqa'id, they have become so mutamayyi'een. They cooperate with the evil and evil people to keep the evil so that they can have the ground. They put the good ones in to a try from time to time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good. So, wal qadariya wal jahmiya, inshallah, in the next class we continue from this place. He mentioned series of them, including those who the name also will be very difficult to pronounce, but they do exist. You know, they do exist from the mashrik, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's Adam.
Chip, these wars that you described, that we described, near the Day of Judgment, what will they be over? Because you look at the civil wars in the Muslim countries today, usually one side will takfir the other side and claim they're fighting for Islam. Mm. So whether they're correct or not, will it be the same thing near the Day of Judgment, or people will just be killing over dunya?
Yeah, that's over dunya.
So nothing to do with Islam?
Nothing to do with Islam. Nothing. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالْيَهَذُ بِاللَّهِ A person will be killed. If you ask the murderer, why did he kill him? He tell you, I don't know. And the person who was killed, why were you killed? He says, I don't know. That's the harj the Prophet ﷺ is talking about. We will talk about that later, inshallah. So it's purely dunya motivated kind of things.
But will they claim to be representing Islam, or they will not even try?
These are dunya. Do they even know the deen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we will reach a time, la yuqala fil ardi Allah, Allah. Nobody says Allah, Allah. Nobody knows prayer. Nobody knows salah. Nobody knows zakah. Nobody knows hajj. Nobody's talking about the deen. They just, la ilaha illallah, they just say, we are Muslims, that's it. That's why somebody told Hudhaifa, he said, what does la ilaha illallah benefit them if they don't even know what is prayer, what is this and that? And he asked him three times, and then he told him, tunjihi min an-nar. La ilaha illallah, as long as they don't commit shirk, but they don't do all of those things, inshallah, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might save them from hellfire. Because of that, la ilaha illallah, they believe. They're the most corrupt human beings, but they don't do shirk. The most corrupt. Riba, murder, zina, all of these the things that imagine nowadays, you know, in our community, subhanAllah. Somebody says, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed a nation because of it. Nowadays, you have almost all of those things being committed in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbuka Halim. Rabbuka Halim. And these guys, they are really going in. They have human pigs. They have same-sex marriage. They have human pigs, human dogs. I mean, not dog, human being. Insan doesn't want to be human being. He became a pig. Hani Allahu, right? They put them in cage. I saw them in cage, you know. And they pay money for this. They just want to experience. Subhanallah. And they will come and tell you they're smart. You know, I don't know, you know, why. Subhanallah. In some of the countries, without mentioning the name of these guys, they say they have 6,000 in those days, you know, human dogs. And the way you see people, a person just have his dog in the morning and going around, right? Uh-huh. In this time around, he is having that, I don't know how to call him, another kind of dog also going around with him. A'udhu billah. Look at how Allah SWT is humiliating them in this life before the hereafter. And recently I heard the new invention. I don't know whether it's new or old, but they said, they have this this terminology. Those who are male by birth, female by birth, or something like that, you know. When they were born, people just called them male. People call them male, people call them female, but they do not have a right to do that. Yeah. And somebody says they are planning now to make it a crime to name your child. Because in the future, they said the boy might not like that. You cannot call him male, you cannot call him female. So just call him insan. Alhamdulillah, they still call him insan if they don't call him Ibn Qird, you know. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of these Adam are part of the, you know, the signs of the day of judgment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk about, you know, fitting from in all of their forms. So the problem is, if that thing is going to remain with them, it's okay. It destroys their own community. No problem. They're the one who wants it. But they're now imposing it upon every single nation. Everyone has to accept. Yeah? And you can see people calling upon this. And this is a hit. And also the destruction of a family structure. Because once you accept this, then khalas, family structure is gone. And when there is no family structure in a community, there will be no life. Trust me, that community is gone. Yeah, that's why in the Western community, there is no life. They claim to have life, but there is no life. Yeah, because there is no link and connection between the families, and everyone is on his own. Husband and wife, they don't have that good, kind, lovely life in the way it should be done. A little of life. As the confession of some mentioned, that you feel that you are living with another man in the house. Get it? Yeah, that's why they said you cannot marry again. But then at the same time, they have extra marital affairs outside. And you cannot divorce. No matter how much bad is the situation, that wife cannot go, and you also cannot divorce her. They still do. Yeah, so instead of the divorce, you go and get. Yeah, because the system says you can have concubine. A'udhu billah. May Allah guide them and protect our communities. Okay. Any last word?
Yeah, many.
Many last word? Okay.
I read that the Haramipa lived in like Bahrain, Hasa, Hormuz. So does this count as Mashriq as well? Or they just originally?
I know. Originally it comes and then.
And then they.
Yeah, they can. You have Shia in Medina, you have Shia in every place. You know. You might have Khawarij and Mu'tazila in every place you go. But the root, we're talking about the root. Where did it begin from?
And when I read the actions of the Haramita, it seemed to me that he was just a Majus. Nothing more. There was nothing. Like even the Shia, they still say Ahlul Bayt, they still claim Tawheed. But he seemed to be just like another Majus. So
and,
why do we.
If you go to even the Ahlul Bayt, who are praised by them?
All of us.
No, no, by them. Who did they praise amongst the Ahlul Bayt?
Ali, Fatima.
Even Ali, just little.
Hussein,
Ibn al-Hussein.
Just yeah. Hussein and Fatima.
Yeah, Hussein also, they are using him for their political gain. Because who killed him? Shia in Kufa. With the confession of the Shia nowadays, Shia in Kufa killed him. With their confession, it was not us saying. They said, the videos are there. They said, they did. They killed him. But they use him politically to reach their political gains. Is that clear? So who are praised by them? The children of the Hussein that came from the wives that came from Persia. You remember during those days when they, those ones, only those ones. So it's still going back to that. Which the Arabs, they need to know this. But unfortunately, many who don't want to understand this correctly.
The hadith of Khorasan is reminding me of another issue. So there is one hadith that says that the Dajjal will be born from a Jewish woman and from a Jewish woman. And then we also have a hadith where Tamim al-Dari is son. So how do we understand?
This one, alhamdulillah, if there is anyone I think I will be missing him in this class, it's not Hamad. So, can you just wait until Dajjal, because all of these nusus bi'idhnillahi ta'ala will be there. Then we can see how to combine between the two. Inshallah, he mentioned both that you mentioned, inshallah. Finish?
From the Zoom, if you'd like to take that.
Is it little?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, 4 minutes, inshallah.
Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
The hadith, one is sitting better than the one who is standing. Does this mean that one better not to get very involved in dunya matters?
Not dunya matters, not to get involved in anything that involves fitna. You know, dunya, if you look for it from the good way, is fine to enjoy the dunya. Halal dunya, if you don't enjoy it, who will? Who do you live it for? That's why a Muslim should strive and do everything possible to make himself very rich, live a comfortable life. That's fine. Take from the halal one, that's fine. Zuhud is not about living an ascetic life. It's not zuhud. The real zuhud is to stay away from anything that doesn't benefit your akhirah. Eating good benefits your akhirah. If you have good intention and get it from the halal way, and staying away from nice food, how does that benefit your akhirah? How? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eats the freshest food. Ibn Qayyim says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not that person that you kept food for him, for it to be, you know, warm up in the morning for him to eat. He always eats fresh, as much as he can. Fine. That's Rasulullah. They even know which type of meat he wants. And then somebody will come and tell us, no, you have to live a life of taqashuf. When you go to buy food, you have, which one is most loved? They are all good, but which one is people like more? You have Nasi Kamin. Kamin is a oh, you don't know?
Wait,
the goat. Let's say the biryani kind of meat with the lamb, you know, nice. Or you just go with the normal nasi lemak. You have two options. Which one the vast majority of us will go to? Of course, nasi. That's why I said that. No, forget about cold madia. We have a choice. Let's say in this place of ours, you know, this classroom, somebody brought us mandi lamb. MashaAllah, tasurru nazareen. And a very nice nasi lemak, packaged in a nice package, but you know that this is nasi lemak and this is mandi. This class of ours, who among us will go to nasi? Sajjal. You get it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go to the best one. Why would somebody come and tell me, go and eat the harsh one? This one you should sell him to Fathul Qadir. You won't read Shawkani. Shawkani says, one of the causes of the balada, you know balada? That stupidity of mind, of a person to become dumb, doesn't understand things properly. Very difficult for him to understand things easily. He said, eating rough and harsh food is one of the causes of this. Yeah, he says, that's why Allah wants to always tell you, eat tayyibat, fresh, 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 fresh. And then somebody's come and tell you, no, eat the rotten one. This is zuhud. Which zuhud is he talking about? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. He's not doing takalluf, but when he finds the good one, he goes with the good one. He doesn't go with the low quality one. He goes with the good one. They never presented him a food, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "No, I don't eat this because it is too fancy." You know, when Abu al-Haytham, you know, hosted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave them, MashaAllah, slaughtered sheep for them, a bunch of tamr and nice water. They ate. They enjoy life from that hunger, because he went out, no food in his house. He met Abu Bakr at that time. He said, Abu Bakr, what happened? You come out this time, usually people don't come out at this moment. He said, Rasulullah, very hungry. He said, come, let's go. Where to go? He doesn't know. They met Umar also. He also came out. He said, Rasulullah, I'm very hungry. No food at home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come, let's go. Let's go and visit somebody. So they visited this companion. SubhanAllah, they couldn't find him. His wife told them that he went to get water for them. When he came back, he found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was so happy. He said, my guest is Rasulullah and Abu Bakr and Umar. Immediately he took a knife. You know, he brought them tamr and water. He took a knife. They know that one of the sheep is going to be slaughtered. They told him, please, don't go to the big one. If we're talking about that zuhud to be defined as the way they define it, then Rasulullah ﷺ should tell them, no, we don't eat sheep. We are zuhad. But Rasulullah ﷺ told him, please don't take a big one. A small one is more than enough for us. They know what is he planning to do. He slaughtered a sheep, cook it for them, brought it, sit down, they enjoy their life, you know, until they eat to their satisfaction. What does that mean? Zuhud is not about living an ascetic life. And he told them, you should know that Allah SWT is going to question you about any ni'mah that he granted you. But this is general principle. Even the harsh food you are eating, also Allah will ask you about that. Whatever you eat in this life. So Allah says, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This dunya and fancy things Allah provided them for who? The believers. So if we don't take the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do we leave it to? The kuffar, to the others, and that's wrong. So that's why Muhammad, utilizing the dunya is different from staying away from the fitan. A person should stay away from the fitan in all of its forms, but trying their best to enjoy this life within the limitation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them is good.
From Umrayyan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now in times of fitan, there are so many gatherings, even small family ones, in which all freely mix. Is it normal for her to become less social and be happy staying home and learning the Quran with small circles of friends upon the Sunnah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel I may be causing more fitan by not meeting up with people who don't practice, but I find it not so beneficial nowadays, as they are not open to talking about beneficial things or accepting da'wah. What should Shaykh kindly advise on these matters, please?
Umrayan, if you don't mind, please let us answer this question in the next class, inshallah. Yeah. Because I don't want to rush, it's a very important question at the same time. Any short one?
Is there any simple book on
fitna? This is part of her questions, right?
No, this is, yeah, this is from
Muhammad. Book on?
Is there any simple book on fitna that we can read with our children to better prepare ourselves to be in
the... Convey the message to them that you learn from these type of classes. Inshallah, we will pass through these fitna. One after the other, and just convey to your children whatever you learn from this class and other classes of this nature, inshallah.
From Shafa, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
So was there any agenda behind the Khawarij establishing their own aqidah as well?
Definitely. If you go back to the root, who brought them actually to separate the Muslim community? Abdullah ibn Sabah, to separate the Muslim community, but coming from inside, through the religion. And Abdullah ibn Sabah is a Jew. And Jew, this is who they are. They're very, very, very smart in this, in destroying the Ummah and the nations. And they know how to do it. That's why they don't come and fight physically. They go from inside. Yeah. Tell them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wrong way, but through within the deen itself. You know, adding some ingredients, you know, letting them to think that they have the capacity to do it by themselves, which led them to be deviated, you know. So that is for sure. When you go back to the one who brought them into existence, you understand that there is some hidden agendas. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Inna bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.